This text in 1 Kings, as we study the life of the kingdom of God's people, the kingdom of God, that he gave to his own people. He called them to be a theocracy, and he called David to be the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, a man who fought God's battles and wars. Even though he was a sinner, he was a weak man, he acknowledged his sin before his God all the time. And his failures. And God was not afraid to say, he's a man after my own heart. He didn't shrink back when he had to fight battles. He didn't also move into action to kill Saul. He realized that Saul was part of God's kingdom. And he was a man, he was even called by God himself. And Saul actually fought God's battles himself. He protected God's people. And he enables really a true succession, that even David was able to be raised up as a king. And we shouldn't really deny the fact that Saul, even in his wickedness and his rebellions also, he was from the house of God. And he was not any different from us. We have been saved by grace and redeemed, not because we are good and not we are not Christian today and receiving God's blessing because we are perfect in ourselves, but because we are willing to identify ourselves as those who have been redeemed and called out. And tonight, what I want to bring to us tonight, as we see the kingdom of Israel is going to be divided, is already divided. And Rehoboam, the successor of his father, Solomon, really now is a man to face the whole thing together. The manifestation of the breaking down of the kingdom of God, you see. And things have not changed. Apostle Paul tells us that all that is written here, that was written then, was written for us, even we are here. So this word is for us so that we learn from this truth, and God is consistent always. The principle are one, always, are the same. We rebel against God as we heard, we will face it. God will not really tolerate that. If we try to seek our own ways and to bend the rule and to do whatever is pleasing in our hearts, we will face the realities. God will judge it. God is not on the side of anyone. He calls us on his side, and we are safer on his side. And so it is right to boast in our weakness and our failures. Certainly that is the case with me. And I hope it is the case for you. Things are bad, as we are hearing from our brother. There is a call for courage. There is a call for holiness. There is a call for love. For sacrifice, even. Some people are hungry. We have millions in our accounts, and we are doing nothing. There is no courage for us to live on the street for 2 days, for 3 days, if 3 days will help someone else as Christians. So the sins of association, that is what I call my topic. Because sins of association, I don't know whether you will remember the text that was read before you here. That is the problem with those who have taught us exposition preaching. You summarize the text, and then you summarize it, and then you just preach it in points. Whereas the tradition I was coming from Middle East, I lived in Egypt for 12 years, is that we read the word, we explain the word. The word of God is what saves. It's not man's words. And as you say the words, it has the anointing, has the power to speak to you. So what was read to us here is Rehoboam, king of Judah, the son of Solomon, was king. And he was king in Judah, 41 years old. He was 41 years old when he reigned. He became king. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which to put his name. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. Judah did evil in the eyes of the Lord by the sins they committed. They stirred up his jealousy, anger, more than their fathers had done. they also set up for themselves high places, sacred stones, and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. There were even male shrine prostitutes in the land. The people engaged in all the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. So, sins of association. One of our greatest snares as Christians today is, as it was for the people of Israel, is trying to live like the other people in the land. People who have no covenant with God. They were not called out. They were not redeemed. They were not given the laws. They were not experiencing God's blessings. They were God's people. And they were warned not to live like other nations around them. And yet, King Solomon took wives from the very nation were driven away before them. God really drove them out so that God can give them their place and warn them that now you are my holy people. I have implanted you here so that I can reveal myself that I'm a God who is holy. I'm the creator of the whole universe and you shall only worship me. And through your worship and dedication to this God, you will be the evangelist to the whole world that there is a creator who is holy, who has created us after his own image, who has dignified human being. That is why today we lament the mistreatment of human people because of the dignity with which God has created human being. And that is what Jesus Christ came to affirm. When we were dead in our sins, we were heading toward judgment, we were living in sins, in humiliation of Satan, because Satan has no mercy. Will humiliate a human being to the ground. See? Always like that. And they were called to live differently. Objectively, objective truth, not my truth. And as you live that, you will know the blessings and you will be the true person who can share the principle of justice rightly and also the tenderness and kindness and even the courage that we are talking about. Because God is courageous, isn't it? He is not afraid of anyone. And if you believe in him, he said to us, do not fear anything. Because the love of God, that is our hearts, cast out fear. I used to be fearful of high places. In South Sudan, there were not really a lot of good roads until recently. Even still, many parts are. So whenever a car is going up and it's going down, and then I lose my heart, I just feel really fearful. So it was only when I became a Christian, really, things changed. So our environment, our immediate context, really can pose challenge to us. So let me say a few things. So sometimes we want to become, because that is the nature of human beings, we love to imitate others and to want to just do exactly what they do. Maybe when look at the houses today that are designed, you want to design your house exactly like the other person. So if you want to have a hut like the village in South Sudan, no one will allow you to do that. So they want you really to be politically correct. And there are standards that you have to follow. So every person must follow another person. And also, even sometimes, even in the church, someone would want to be like this preacher, would want to be like the other one. When we read really the Bible, that we have different gifts. You see? And so they are all to bring glory to God and to serve one another with. Why would you want to do that? Why you want to compete? Because human beings, they love really to be influenced by people around them. And when we are called really to lead the way, isn't it? Like following Christ and then being like Christ. And then if people want to imitate us, they will imitate Christ. So many years I asked a friend, I said, what is the Australian dream, like American dream? Actually, I don't know what is the American dream. And then he said, in Australia you have a house, you have a Commodore on the driveway, you see maybe a pet, you see a dog, maybe a beautiful wife or a handsome husband, and then you just go for a walk in certain clothes and things like that. Maybe these are Australian dreams, and everyone want to do that. That was, but it's not like God's people. King Solomon, he rebelled. And the first point I want to share with you, what he did, intermarriage with nations around them, was a snare. And that is why, no wonder why, the name of the mother of this man, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was mentioned twice. You see, this man, they said his mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. That means she is not of the people of God. She was worshipping false god. And they were the women who turned away Solomon's heart from their God. And now this boy, he has inherited the same thing. You see, the Bible says his mother was an Ammonite. Verse 31, the last verse in chapter 14. So when we are told that, and Rehoboam rested with his fathers when he died and was buried with them in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. Well, the word of God is saying there is danger in association with people who do not acknowledge God. It's just like you are trying to be a member of Labour when you are a Liberal member, isn't it? So all that you will get there, you will get a different philosophy, isn't it? You will get the legislation. They will ask you to vote in a way that you are not prepared to vote, isn't it? It's just exactly being in the wrong place when you're supposed to be in a certain place. And I think that is a danger we face today. And maybe I mentioned this many times, like I'm so privileged to have come from through different experiences. So born in South Sudan, lived in the North Sudan, moved to Egypt, did university there, and I have watched a lot of things. I've seen groups of people, political groups and intellectual groups. I attended many of them, rallies and so forth. So I was exposed to see a lot, even in the church as well in Egypt. So when we were starting really to witness to Muslim and witness to others. So what was helpful to me during that time is that my group, they were very different. They were people who dedicated to Jesus Christ. And so we were really focused. We were so separated from everything else. And as a result, we really encouraged one another, like what we said we were talking about earlier. We encouraged one another. And we didn't need to be part of anything. We were enough to encourage one another and to live with one another and to hang out together and to pray together and to evangelize together and to bring the change that the Lord was wanting to bring together. Well, here in Australia is a different story altogether. So this man, the first things, intermarriage with other nations was a snare, was a problem for them. So that is why Rehoboam's mother was mentioned twice. She was really, they were the cause of the weakness that the people of God were going to face because God told them not to live like others. Secondly, also we realize that God has chosen. He says he chose Jerusalem, the city the Lord has chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which he put his name. You see, God's people, a place that God destined for them because he wanted to protect them in that place. And Jerusalem is pointing to a new Jerusalem. They said when God's peoples are fully redeemed, they will be in a city also that is called Jerusalem, a new world. You see, that is called Jerusalem as well, heavenly Jerusalem. And so here the name of the Lord and his status and his instructions. And so telling his people that you are in this place where the temple is there, and he and there are symbols that pointing to his presence, the city of God, Jerusalem. When I was called to the ministry, I was called through Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep silence. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep my rest of myself until her righteousness flashes like a torch. You see, the city here is defiled. So Solomon brought aliens, sinners, people who were just really not acknowledging God. And the city became open really to judgment because God will not tolerate. And so whenever really we lose sight of what God has intended for us as his own people, we open up ourselves to dangers, to a lot of problems. And that is what happens here. In the actions, we just made treaty with people we should never have treaty with them. And the same principle is today, it stands. If we want to love people, we are called to love our enemies, but we were never called to walk with them in covenant. Never. I remember one day I was hit by a door of a train. I was traveling from Alexandria to another part. It was a thick one, because I was just taken in my thought into a wrong place. And the wrong place, it was not looking like even bad. I was just thinking about Hosni Mubarak, the president of Egypt. And I was just like thinking of how he was a great man and he was a good man. And there, boom, I got a hit in my head. And I reflected on this for the last 27 years. So why that happened? Certainly Hosni Mubarak will appear as a good man. But actually what he was doing, he was killing a lot of Christians in Egypt. That was what he was doing. They deployed high-ranking police officers into volatile areas where the Muslim Brotherhood are just waging war against the government. And so they would just send Christians to be just killed, Christian leaders. And so in a church like this, we can never fix a tap or anything as Christian in Egypt during Mubarak's time. You cannot even fix a tap. If the church is left into disrepair, you cannot even repair it. You see, and you can't think about this man as a man who is called to sympathize with his own people. I was not identifying myself enough with my own people as a Christian. So here, the city, God is jealous of his own people and also the place, because the place is speak of his presence, not to be defiled. Okay, let's keep going. So these people, they went on to defy God, the whole kingdom. Judah, verse 22. Judah did evil in the eyes of the Lord. You see, the whole tribe, because the whole tribe that has been set apart in a place where God was protecting them, he gave them really everything that they need there, yet that place was open up for the influences of the gods of the nations around them. And now this creeps into every house in Jerusalem. So they did the evil in the eyes of the Lord, and what they did is they sinned. They committed sins, and that then they stirred up the anger of God. And the reason is because God is God who is jealous. He doesn't want his people to play with sin. And so his anger was stirred up. Is God the same? Is the living God? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he would not want us to really dwell where there is sin, even a shadow of sin. And if we think that we have sinned against him, we are called to repent. We are to repent. They stirred up God's anger, and they also set up for themselves. Now they are into false worship. That is what happens when people are just really defeated in their conscience, and they are not living a holy life. And then they will just be the growing in their boldness in defying God. So now it is just so easy for them to even go and set up for themselves places of worship. Now is a false worship. Now is a new religion. New God has been ushered in into Jerusalem, into a place where it shouldn't exist. And that is what happened with man. Man always would love to make for themselves a religion. Man made religion. That is the issue. It's not God. It's not the worship of the living God, because we don't make God. We don't make our own worship. We have been shown how to worship, isn't it? But we didn't make it ourselves. We have been called to worship God in truth and in spirit. And here, these people, they make for themselves a religion, a way to worship, you see. And so the worship there is not of the worship of the living God. It is a false God. It's a created being. And their gods are idols. And so these people, they go to high places where the nations around them have their idol worship. And so they go even their prostitution. That is forbidden among God's people. So there's male, even male prostitution. And so if so, homosexuality is not new, isn't it? And homosexuality is really associated with false gods, false worship. The Satan is delighted in this. You know in Smyrna, when the Christians were very poor in the New Testament, you see, because they were poor, because they were not taking part in this festival where they will sign business contracts, the first thing they will do, they will indulge themselves in sexually, openly. And then they sign contracts, business contracts, and the Christians couldn't take part in that. And so they were left out of all these things. That is why they were poor. So most of Christians today, they are poor because they would not want to twist the laws and then to try to just do wrong things. They end up being poor. It is better to be poor than really to do the wrong things. So these people, they are openly worshiping false gods. They worship gods of other nations. They set up for themselves. As God's chosen people, we are called to live by the instructions from the Word of God, handed down. Even that, they were called to follow the law of Moses, and they didn't follow that. So their worship involved sexual activities such as male prostitutions and also burning their children alive. Wow, let's move on. So what happens then? What is the result? They provoke God to anger. They provoke God. So what we have here, we have in verse 25, in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem. They opened themselves to attack. They gave devil the foothold. They were called to be protected. God said, I will protect you. Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eyes. As someone who is punching his eyes, that is another translation, or touches God's apple of eyes. You are so precious in my sight. So why these things are happening to us? Have you heard of the lament of many Christians? Why our churches are so empty? Why we are called spiritual? Why we are not moving in the power of God? Why we are not moving in courage and boldness, brother? You see, so why these things are not really manifested in our midst? Why we are not bold enough to give up? Even to give up and to live a simple life requires boldness. You see, and people to say all sorts of things. Yesterday I was sharing with Michael and his daughter in the office what the things people were saying about me. There was, actually insult. But that didn't bother me because that is how people would interpret things like that. But let us be bold enough to be different. Because if we fail, sorry. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Let me press on. So I heard that. That's good. But so when what happens? What happens when we open doors? And then what happens? Then God will move and will open us up to humiliation. So many years ago when I came to Australia, this was relatively Christian. Okay? Chat with me later on, please. So when I first came, it was relatively Christian. And this question of bringing up the redefinition of marriage was brought to the parliament, was squashed. Because the person who was the prime minister then really refused to open that up to a debate. You see, it's only those people who open it up for a redefinition who gave foot to that thing. And so, excuse me, sorry, later on, please. Let me finish preaching. And later on we will have a cup of tea we can share. So this has been opened up. And so here what concerns us as God's people, as Christian spirit-filled people, is when we open up, really we endanger a lot of things that are going to be to follow here in the text. So the things that are going to happen is not that these people will redefine things and will bring in their laws. They will come and take out, they will take our privileges. Even above all these things, there is spiritual privileges, the freedom, the spiritual freedom that we will have that would allow us to stand bold and to destroy whatever on the other board. As a Christian, we will not be told, even if we didn't say anything, they will just pack up their things and they will leave. But why they are there, why they are tolerated to that point? Because we have opened up ourselves to sin and to Satan. And God has to punish us with these things. We can't cry. We have done it ourselves. We have opened it up. We are busy competing with one another as Christians. We are busy just doing our own things. Doing ministry the way we want to do it, not the way God has wanted to do it. So this is a challenge to all of us who are here today. But there is a way out. These things are not revealed today in vain to us. So that we repent, there is a response demanded here. There is a demand for a response. This truth demands a response. And the Spirit of God is able to help us, to enable us to walk out from this place today, change, determined to walk right, even if it's a dangerous path. So the battles, the wars, and God is able to raise us up to fight, good fight, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, if we have closed all the doors. Yeah, recently there was a lady who came from USA. Is a sister of one of our elders here, a Southern Sudanese man who is a veterinary surgeon. His sister, she's a devout Christian, a Christian leader, a prayer warrior. She said this. She said, "We as Christian, when we come to the Lord, as weak, just redeemed, and then the Holy Spirit will get into us, and will start to seal those holes that brings in sin, and then we are made holy, fit for the kingdom of God." So here, this, the God we worship, if his anger is stirred, because he's a jealous God, he has created us after his own image for himself, and he has redeemed us again in Christ, recreated again, and given a chance to have the word of God, not to be written for us on the tablets, but to be written on our hearts, and to have the Holy Spirit dwell in us, to have the boldness of Christ himself, who was bold to face his enemies with argument and even to face death that was destined for him. So man, this king of Egypt came, Shishak, the king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem. He carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. He took all that was standing for the blessings of God. Those things, they were symbolic of God's blessing of his own people. It's not just gold for the sake of gold. They were called treasures in the temple of God, where God's presence is declared. And the gold is speak of kingship, if we want to use a bit of allegory. So they stand for the glory of God and the blessings for his own people. And now see what will happen. This thing will be replaced with the bronze. That is what happens when we replace the true God, the worship of true God. You end up with a God being created, and then also you will have no blessings, and the blessings that will be just only a copy of the true blessings that we can receive from God. We will be hardly eating food, running out of food. How many people in the land? Plenty of food. But some people are hungry. And maybe some of us at times. And you wonder. And so these things were taken. See, God is just showing that you cannot depart from me and still enjoy my blessings. They will depart. You cannot depart from God and you still will be fruitful in your ministry. You cannot. You cannot depart from God and fight your battles and win. No matter, it doesn't matter how active you are in lobbying you are, even bold you are. No, you won't go an inch. So now, all these things were taken away. He took everything, including all the gold shields Solomon had made. And the shields speak of protection. And these shields, they speak that God, I'm God who is a shield to his own people. I'm a God who will protect you even from the diseases. And you know, next Sunday morning, if you have time, come here. I will be talking about how Jesus went about teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the kingdom of God, and healing the sick. And you see? And so, full ministry. And he was not falling short of success in those areas. People said he taught with authority, not like the other teachers. And he proclaimed with boldness that the kingdom of God has arrived. Repent from your sin and turn away from your wicked ways. Jesus was bold enough because he didn't break a single law. He was in one with his Father. And that is why his disciple, when he taught them, he said, you will be carriers of this message. You will be bold, but you need to wait for the Holy Spirit, the indwelling power of God, that will cast away fear from you and will enable you to live a holy life. You see, now today people think like you live a holy life just only when you are 70 or 80 and then like you will be restrained from sexual immoralities. Well, look, no, that is a false, that is a lie. A young person touched by the Holy Spirit can live a holy life even better than a 70-year-old man. Because that is God. And those young people who are engaged in breaking into houses and drugs, and it is part of my lament, I pray all the time, Lord Jesus, please, Lord, just deliver me from the work of Satan. I repent of all my sins. Lord, if that is your will, please raise me up for these young people. And I know that when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they will be instruments of change and for blessings of others. Because I know once I was a young South Sudanese boy, soft-hearted young people, good young boys with heart of gold, I believe. And we are robbed of revival in Australia because of this one. Have not come yet into light. And once these people come out, they will fill the streets of Australia with the word of God. That is what we were known of. My people. Sometime I pull my head, I say, why God brought me to Australia? You see, certainly it's a beautiful place. Don't take me wrong. It's a beautiful place. I made great friends. And I pray that they will be just only that I advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ, not for any other purpose. And that is the only reason. If they're why God would bring me here is to give me friends that will pray for me that we expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Anything like that, I don't like it. I don't want it. I can meet Australian in Egypt. I can make friends. A lot of Australian are everywhere, you know, like American. You see, that's it. But for God to bring me here is just to give me a people with a focus who love Jesus Christ so that we love the truth and want to be bold. And every time I'm not just bold and doing what is right, I lament, I cry. Many are my tears. So here, these people, this is what happened. You cannot depart from God and still enjoy blessing. Gold will be taken out. Comfort and the excitement of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord, will be taken out. Ichabod, the glory will depart. And that is what we should fear the most, that the departure of the glory of God in our services, in our Christian witness, in our homes, in this country. This country, we want to do good. This country was built by people who had faith in God, faith in Christ. Good people who did everything well for the rest, for others, for the coming generations. And today we are just working on their labor. We are beneficiaries of their labor, of their hard work, even a person like your dad who believed in freedom and fought against injustice. Today we are not fighting against injustice. People are hungry because we give our hands to other people who are robbing the wealth of the whole world. I just don't want to join my African brothers who are very angry why their countries are still really poor. And other people are just like, not because they are foolish people, they are not. Who is making guns? These great nations, isn't it? And why there are wars? Who is encouraging wars? We have a United Nation in South Sudan since 2013. All that they did, they gathered, they assembled people in UNMISS. They call it United Nations camps, where they even they don't protect people. You can go actually and kill someone there under their watch. They've been there since 2013. They say they are protecting people in their own country. And then they ask you here in Australia, bring millions of dollars. And then they distribute them as their salaries in $10,000. I went there, I was in Juba. They were there just like in pools, in swimming pools. And with wines, they just go and just have glass because they have 10,000. And then they are just like looking after poor people who cannot get even something to eat. And the country is just floating over oil, gold, uraniums, everything. Fertile lands and thousands. Do you think this world there is justice? And will remain like that until people with courage, with God anointing and mandate, can stand up with God protection and do what really will bring blessings to people. So here, this is what happened. So the king Rehoboam had to make for himself a bronze. Yeah, I just have like another 5 minutes. Just will have only bronze in the place of gold. That is what happens. Yeah, demotions. You just to live with what was not meant for you. God wanted us to have the full dignity, isn't it? You will be robbed of your dignity. And now this man, he just got another shield that is made of bronze. And actually, this is testifying against himself. God has departed. Now you have to protect yourself with this, with your gods. That will not protect you. And he will die. Yeah, God will do that. So this man had to make for himself a shield to replace the gold. That is what happens. Do you see the danger of the association with anything that would be a snare to us as God's people? Even a thought, a philosophy, a worldview. We are not to entertain any position that is not of God. We are Jesus Christ himself. He prayed for us. He said, I will protect you in this world, even though you see evil like that. So association is not that we are not in this world. No, Jerusalem was in the center of the Middle East, and there were nations around them, but they were asked not to imitate them, not to worship their gods, not to intermarry with them. It's the same thing today. Jesus said he will protect us in this place. But if we are not willing to obey him, we will open up ourselves to destructions, because God will always move. And let us wash our ways. Let us wash how we desire things and how we. What is our mission, what is our purposes, what is our vision for life. And actually we won't be able to, like King Rehoboam, he just ended up defending himself, isn't it? Having like a shield of bronze just like that, not to expand. You see, when God calls us to expand, to gain territories, and to be joyful, is it? How many Christians are mourning today? I myself, I wonder. You see, because I had experiences of the joy of the Lord, the freedom of the children of God when I was in Egypt, in certain times in this country as well. But it doesn't look like it's the case today. We have opened up maybe to sin and to Satan. And so our cry is, only God, please reveal to us what is hindering, what is really causing trouble. And when he reveals this also, you need to be bold enough to say, here I am, send me, Lord. And that is why unity has to be on certain basis. We can never be walking in unity if we are believing different things. See, we can't do that. Even if what you are presenting is so good, you see, we are not against people presenting their own things. But actually, we can only work in covenant if we are on the same page and we are glorifying all our God and Jesus Christ, and also to live the way he wants us to live, and we will not run out of influence. We will influence our governments, our societies. We will be really radiant, and we will be people who have rest. You see, we will be even healthy. You see, we'll be fit because the Lord is with us. Let us pray.